I was thinking it's amazing how there's so many great examples, so many verses and scriptures that we could go to for our Father's Day challenge today. I forgot Children's Church. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly, for reminding me. Anybody that needs to go to Children's Church, Kelly and Jen are headed that way. So if you'd like to be involved with that, you're more than welcome. But I was thinking about the different verses, the different chapters that we could take, and I thought about that, and the words that you said, you don't even know my scripture today, and I was thinking about Joshua. You know, when Joshua was standing there at the end of his great book, and he told him, he said, hey, if you want to serve the pagan god, you go ahead, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Boy, we need more fathers that are like that. We need godly men that will stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Last week, you know, Sandy said I was pretty hard on her last week in the pulpit. I didn't mean to make her feel like she was being mean to me. She wasn't, but you know, when men and women are moving, even when you're moving across the street from one parsonage to the other, it's just a different animal, isn't it? All you men, you could say amen, right? Women are nesters. And I heard today men are messers. We just want to get it in there, you know where it's at, let it go. Thank God for women, because our house looks very nice right now because she took out the time to do that. But we're looking and we realized we had our TV on the hearth over here, and so we didn't have a TV stand. And obviously, where do you got to go? You've got to go to that high dollar furniture place, Walmart, right, to find you a TV stand, right? You want to find a cheap one anyway. And so you look around, and we looked, and we found a nice TV stand. It looked nice, you know, and it wasn't real high. It wasn't very expensive. And I said, yeah, that's the one. The only problem is it looks so nice on the shelf. What does it come in? A box. That box, and you got to tote it out, and that means you've got to take out the time to put it together. And you guys know the routine. You know how that is. So I get home, and, you know, and I lay it out in the floor and get my little screwdriver, and most of it's put together by those little old whatever. You could tear it apart with just kicking it, the little lock cams or whatever. And so I got that out. And what do we do? You know, us men, we're men. We could put this together. We don't need that instruction book, do we? It's simple. Look, just look at a picture, put it together, and what we do, we try to put it together, but sooner or later you run into that, something's wrong. You know, I've got one side, the rough side, unfinished side's facing this way, and it's, what have I done here? And then I get the instruction book out after all else fails. You know, if we're not careful, dads, we do the same thing with life. We think we try to fix it. We can fix it. We're fixers. God made us that way. We're fixers, and if we're not careful, we try to do it on our own, and when He's gave us the instruction book for life, this should be our manual, and it should be the thing that comes out at first thing. When we're dealing with our life, when we're asking God, we're seeking God, when we're looking for directions, do you know that God has called us as men to be the spiritual leaders of our homes, of our churches? God's called men to do that. That is their role. And so I titled it Home Sweet Home today. It's Psalms 128. If you would turn there. And really, Psalms 128 and Psalms 127 go together in this beautiful duet of what the family should look like. And if you remember the verse there in 127 and verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That's a good verse, and that shows you the family. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so these two actually go together, but Psalms 28 will be the one that we looked at, and then there's Psalms of Ascent. That means as they went up to Jerusalem, as they went up to worship, they sang these songs together as a family. It's kind of a cool thing to think about, singing these songs. And there are certain ones that they sang on their way up to Jerusalem to worship, and so this would be one of those psalms. And so we're looking at Home Sweet Home today, Psalms 128. If you would, stand to your feet. Let's reverence God's Word and read Psalms 128. Psalm 128. Don't put the S on it. It's like Revelations. If you're not careful, you'll put the S on it. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a few moments. I pray, God, will you just thank you for your presence already here this morning. Thank you for the fathers that were represented across the front. So proud of our godly men here. Will you just speak to us and challenge all of us today with this message? And will please hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Home sweet home. What does that look like? I want us to see from this psalm today. We're going to take some points, 3 points, as the psalmist gives us. And I want to see our first point is fathers should be clear about who you trust. You should be clear about who you trust. Your family should know who it is that's guiding you, who you're being obedient to. And the first thing, we should trust the Lord in your walk. Look what it says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. This psalm is a neat psalm. It starts out with a blessing and ends with a prayer. And it says, everyone. Well, we're going to be focusing on the man and the fathers today. And we'll see that. He starts speaking to the man here. But everyone is blessed when we reverence, when we fear the Lord. When God takes his proper place in our families. We reverence him. We worship him. He is in control of everything. It's not my house and my rules. It's God's house and his rules. And we all come under that umbrella. When we reverence, we trust the Lord in our walk. That's living out what we believe daily. We are to be men. We're to be worshipers. We should model our life of worship in front of our family. You say, what does that look like? That's a life given over by the manual of God that he's given us. It's lived out daily. Not perfect men by any means. We can't be perfect. We'll never reach perfection until we are glorified with God in heaven. But you know what? But real men that worship God, that love God, that are able to, you know what, when we make mistakes, to say, I'm sorry. I messed up. Real men that know that it takes being on your knees before a holy God and asking him to bless your family, to watch out over your wife, to watch out over your children. Worshippers as we walk, everywhere that we go. And it doesn't just start here at church, but it's everywhere. And we're going to see that. That they know we're clear about who we trust as fathers. Because we trust in the Lord in our walk. Our families need to see us living. Walking, that's what that means, living for God. You know what? You are modeling men. You are modeling Jesus to your family. In fact, the Scripture talks about that, that we are, in 1 Corinthians 11, speaking of women's and men's role, this one it said, Paul says, he is the image and the glory of God. Our primary role is to be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ to our family. I've always said, I'm so glad my kids are here with me today. You can ask them. I said many times, if I fail here, if I fail at home, I'm a failure. I don't care how successful that I am. You don't care where you're at. If you fail at home, you're a failure. It's our most important thing. It's our highest calling. It's that institution that God placed, the first institution of husband and wife and then our families. If we fail there, we're failures. I don't care how successful we are in anything else, ministry, business. We don't ever need to get the idea as men that it's religion is for the women and the children. In fact, I want you to understand something, men. I want to challenge you with this today. You will stand before God one day and give an account for your wife and your children and how you led them. They won't stand for you. You will give an account of how you were, if you were the spiritual leader, if you were the God-man, if you were their example. You will give an account before a holy God one day for that. That's something to think about, Amy. That's how important that it is. That's how we are to lead. We are to bless the Lord in everything that we do. We trust the Lord in our walk because we'll give an account to him. You see, the wise man is concerned with following the Lord, reverencing the Lord, seeking out the Lord's goodness. Fathers who fear the Lord will be a man of integrity. You don't have to worry or question his integrity. If he follows the Lord. And you know what it says? He receives a blessing in the things that he does by being obedient to the Lord, by walking in the Lord. You know what? So I debated on doing Psalms 1. Psalms 1 says, he delights in the Lord's word and meditates on it day and night. That's what Psalm 1 talks about, that blessed man. Delight yourself in the Lord's Word? Do you meditate on it? Does it become a part of your life? Do you think about how it applies to the life that you're in? If we're not very careful, we'll compartmentalize our life, and we'll talk about that in the next point. Look at this, but next sub-point. Not only do you trust the Lord in your walk, but you trust the Lord in your work. Did you know that your work is worship unto the Lord? And you might say, dear Lord, never thought of it that way. It kind of gives us a different view, and you've heard me talk about tomorrow, Monday morning, I got to go to the old ball and chain. Listen, God gave us the health and the strength to work and to honor Him through our work. And we know about hard work in the mountains. The mountain people work hard, and they pride themselves on that. They're hard workers. Man, a lot of you get home from work and you work a dark, farming and doing all kinds of things like that, and that's unto the Lord. There's nothing wrong. You know what? In fact, God hates laziness. Did He not say in 2 Thessalonians, a man won't work, he shouldn't what? Eat. If you don't work, He said you shouldn't eat. So God hates laziness. He wants us to work unto Him. We need to not only trust the Lord in our walk, but trust the Lord in our work. Hard work is a given. Enjoying its fruit is a gracious gift from God. Listen, it says in verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. It's a given. We don't, guys, compartmentalize our life. We don't act one way at church and another way at work. It's all unto the Lord. In fact, it is our reasonable act of worship. You've heard me say that. 24/7, 365 is your act of worship. Every day where you work is your act of worship unto the Lord. How you worship Him. Are we honoring God through our work? Because true fathers, to have that place that we're supposed to be, will honor God in our work. And listen to this. The sweat of His brow, remember in Genesis 3:19, when God's cursing, He said, by the sweat of your brow and toil that you'll labor and earn its fruit, is turned into the blessing in Psalms 28:2. For the man who fears the Lord and walks in His way will eat the labor of his hands. The sweat of the curse of 3:19 turns into a blessing in 128:2 of Psalms. He's saying, if you follow Me and you trust these things in Me, you'll eat the labor of your hand. You'll be fruitful in all that you do. Trust the Lord in your walk. Trust the Lord in your work. But I want us to look at our next point. Not only should fathers be clear about who they trust, but fathers should be committed to those they love, to those that you love. 3 and 4. And listen to what it says. First, be a blessing to your wife, guys. Your wife, verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house. Now think about that. Because the man walks with God, his wife flourishes, and she's like a fruitful vine. He sets her free to soar as a woman of God and in the glory of God. That's what he's saying. She said he's a fruitful vine right in the center of your house. It's located right in the middle of your home, and she's a vine. You know what? But one thing I want you to think about, a vine needs. And in that culture, they realized how important vines. We're going to see olive trees. We're going to see that next. But how important that was, it produced the fruit, and they ate from these kind of things. It was so important. But you know what? A vine that's heavy with fruit, what does it need? Support. Don't it? It needs to rest on something. You ever seen a grapevine that just hangs in the air? When it gets a lot of fruit on, what is it going to do? It's going to break. It's going to fall. So as husbands, we should support her. We should nourish her. Need somebody to lean on. Your wife needs somebody to lean on. Be that person. Step in the front when it comes to spiritual things. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Don't wait for mama to say, let's go to church. You say, it's time to go to church, family. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Together, husband and wife, seek to educate and encourage your children. And then we'll see later your grandchildren to love and serve the Lord. You know, if our children grow up to love Jesus, that we should be willing just to love Jesus and serve Him. We should be saying, do whatever you want. As long as you love and you serve Jesus, you're free to do whatever God does and leads you to do. Just love Christ and serve Him. Because I want you to see, not only should we be committed to those you love in being a blessing to your wife, but be a blessing to your children as we go on. Verse 4. your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Just like olive plants, just like the vine, the olive plants need to be cultivated and cared for. In that culture, man, when you had olive trees, think about, and some of you guys have been to Israel, it was so important. I mean, you're talking about years of growth that they gleaned oil from, that they ate food, that they made a living from. How important is it, talking about these children will be like olive plants around your table? In the Middle East, to have olive trees, man, would be, it was a source of productivity for the family. And we're to bless our children. How do we bless them in teaching them to love Christ? Blessing their mother till death do us part. The greatest thing they can see is you loving their mom. And then it says in Ephesians 6:4, it says, don't provoke your children to wrath. What's it talking about? It means to exasperate them, to frustrate them, to badger them, to wound them, to humiliate them. Dads, don't be that kind of dad. In fact, Josh McDowell, I love this quote, what he said. It says, rules without relationship make rebellion. That's a pretty good statement, ain't it? Rules without relationship make rebellion. Olive trees flourish in a home with a godly dad and mom that are committed to each other and to the Lord. In fact, he says over in 127, he said, happy is the man. Children are, he says in verse 4 of 127, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And then he says, 5, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. He said, happy is the man that's blessed with children. We should be fathers that lead our wives and lead our children. Well, fathers should be clear about who they trust. Fathers should be committed to those you love. But listen to this lastly. Fathers should be concerned with where you live. Verses 5 and 6. I want us to think about the blessed life must be a life that reaches out to the extent in sharing the blessings of God to others. It's not just about our four. If we're not careful, it's not just American or individual. It turns into, it's me and my wife and my kids, and that's all that it matters. No, God never meant for it to be that way. It's so important, but it's reaching out also to a lost world. We should be concerned for our city and nation, for his children and his grandchildren. We should be concerned about what's going to happen in our nation, because it's not just about us in the here and now, but what about our future with our kids and their kids and their kids until the Lord tarries? We should take an interest in that. You know what? A godly man will recognize that the family's future is bound up in the health and the welfare of the nation that it lives in. How important is that to us? Fathers should be concerned with where you live first, take an interest in your nation. Look what it says in verse 5. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. He said, bless you out of Zion. He saw, you know, all throughout the Psalms it talks about, and he ends this Psalm about, may the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many times have we heard that? Some of you might even do that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many times do you pray for the peace of the United States of America? How many times do you pray? Here's the deal. I got convicted when I'm studying this. If I would pray as much as I point fingers and make fun of my president and the administration that's in there now, there might be a difference. I like to make fun and point fingers and say, look at this. How much am I praying for this man when Timothy 2:2 says for me to pray for my leaders? It brought conviction. It brings conviction to my life. Take an interest in our nation. We should pray for a nation and its leaders. And again, 1 Timothy 2:2 tells us that. You know, we don't have the luxury in our day to take a day off from that. It's very easy. You ever just get discouraged and say, just let it go, whatever. It's very easy to do that. But here's the deal. The psalmist knew that the God-man knew that his nation was tied up in with his family. And as we are, as individuals, and then as a whole, represents who God is also. Will this nation ever be a godly nation again? I don't know that for sure. I don't know if we're maybe in the last days where we wax worse and worse, or if maybe there's another great awakening before the Lord tarries. Boy, I hope so. We don't know that, do we? But we're to strive. We don't have to know. We're to strive to be obedient to what God's Word says. And He says to live it out every day, to go out and reach our fellow man with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live the gospel, be gospel men, be gospel examples at home and everywhere that we are. He said, when that happens, you know what? We have an influence in our nation. We should vote. We should vote our morals, not our economics. We should vote and ask God who it is. We should know our representatives. We should know all these things. We should be out there and being a voice for God. It's very easy just to say, let somebody else worry about it. Somebody made this quote. Listen to this. I wish it was mine. It's too good for me. If good and godly men do nothing, evil will prevail. You believe that? If good and godly men do nothing, evil will prevail. Well, that's where we're at right now as a nation, is it not? We like it easy. We just sit back on our duff and take it easy. You remember my Staples Easy button? I got that in my office there, and I hit that thing all the time. Oh, that was easy. That's what we want life to be. We want it to be easy. And if we don't rock the boat, if we don't make any stands, if we don't be a voice for the voiceless, if we don't reach out and help others, you know what? It's real easy just to go through life, cruise through life, and let's retire and take it easy. Let somebody else worry about it. We don't have that luxury right now as a nation. We need to be godly men in the forefront. I'm talking about with compassion and with conviction. Grace and courage. I'm not pointing fingers and judgmental way of everybody that sees that. We get that posted everywhere, don't we? I'm talking about real godly men that stand on the convictions and morals and compassion of a holy God that's trying to see what the problem is. You know what the problem is? It's the same problem with everybody. They need Jesus. When Christ comes into people's hearts, it changes things. If we had a huge revival in this land, would it not change things? Yes, it would. So be that godly man that God's called us to be. Not only do we take an interest in our nation, but He takes an interest in His future. Look what it says in verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. I'm going to open the door and let you in a little secret. I've been praying for my great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren since my kids were born. You say, that's funny. I've been praying for them. I've been praying for a godly husband, a godly wife. I've been praying for godly kids, godly grandkids, godly great-grandkids, and so on and so on until Jesus comes back. My prayer is that from now on, that whatever that name is will be godly. Because the psalmist realized here when he said, you'll see your children's children. You know, what did we go from the beginning? We've went from a marriage to being grandparents to being great-grandparents. It flies. Time flies pretty fast. Don't how many can say amen to that? Wow. Anna's graduation was yesterday, and man, it just seemed like I was remembering my graduation. We won't tell you how long ago that was. Man, it was class of 80, okay, 1980. Right. But I thought, man, I was just sitting here listening to them speeches and stuff, and here I am now, 52 years old. I was a young man doing whatever I wanted to do, and here I am. And you know what? That's how time is. And it says, teach us to number our days. It's so important. And he says, take an interest in your future. Guys, do you realize that you have an influence? I taught my students this morning that the decisions that you make today will have consequences in the generations to come. Do you believe that? It does. We don't buy into what the world says. Just live for the here and now. Come on, it's just about us right now. Don't worry about what's coming. But that's affecting. It's affecting our families, our future, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We need to make wise choices now. We should take an interest. Yes, you may see your children's children. The godly man is an influence on the future generations. You don't check out as you get old. We don't retire from serving the Lord. We don't check out. It's the time
time's flying. We need to take an interest in our future and our families. Your choice will make a difference in the future. And then he prays, he said, "May peace be upon Israel." We see that. How it encompasses the whole thing, that he realized that this godly man, he took an interest in his family, he takes an interest in his nation, and he prays for his nation. Pray for your nation. Pray for your leaders. You know, we have men on foreign soil. Right now, we kind of forget about them, don't we? Out there serving men and women that are giving their lives, that we could call this thing that we call freedom, that doesn't mean to take it for granted and do anything we want to do. That's not what freedom is. Freedom's never free. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but it costs God everything. The gift was free, but it costs God everything. Men, where are we at in our walk with the Lord this morning? Listen to these applications as we close. Do our children know that we trust the Lord? Do they know who you're trusting? Do they know that your walk and your work is trusting in Him? It's all given over to Him. Have they ever heard you say, "Praise God that I have the strength and the breath to get up, go earn that living this morning. God gave it to me." Number two, are we committed to loving our families? Do your children know that you love your wife? Does your wife know that you're a one-woman man, that she's all that you have, all that you want? Number three, are we praying for our nation? Are we really praying for our nation? Not "God bless America." We're really praying. God will open the eyes. Open our eyes. Show us where we fit in. Show us that we have a place to help in future generations. What is it that God is asking of this Father's Day, 2014? Guess what? Never get it back again. Only once. Oh, it'll come around again next year if we're here, still here, if the Lord hadn't come back or He spared our life for another year. 2014, Father's Day, purpose in our heart to be that dad that God's called you to be. Oh, you say, "Well, my kids are grown." It doesn't matter about that. You can make a difference now. Don't let the devil throw everything what you didn't do right, but say, "Lord, I want to do it right from here on. I want to love my wife as Christ has called me to do, as Christ loved the church. I want to show my kids compassion and love. I want to show them Christ in my daily life. I want them to see that, you know, my job, I don't check out when I go to my job and then come back and I'm one man one place, another man another place. I want them to see consistency in my life." If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today could be the best Father's Day you ever had. Jesus died for us. There's no way that we could do these things that He commands us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Christ came and He gave Himself on a cross at Calvary that we could be set free from our sins. That if we accept His payment for our sins, that His righteousness would be applied to our life. If you never had that happen, boy, this would be a great Father's Day to do that. Love, we're getting ready to have our invitation time. Linda, if you'll come up and start playing. Brittany, if you'll get ready for our song. We're going to have a time of invitation. First part of it, I want you to deal with the Lord. I want you guys and what ladies, I want you to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, come see me. Come up front. Nothing wrong. You're with a group of people that love you, care about you. If there's never been a time in your life that you know that you've repented, that place, you've come to that place in your life, you realize that God's Son died for me and I need to ask Him into my life. And you know what? A new creature began. The Holy Spirit moves in, all things become new. If you never have, please come see me about that. And then we'll finish off our invitation. I'm going to do a challenge to the men. So if you will, then, and start playing. Everybody stand to your feet, please.
Page 139.
up here right now. Make your way. Men, period. It's going to be dads. Come up to the altar right now. Let's have a time of prayer as we finish out. Don't pray. Don't sing, Brittany, but you play, Linda. Guys, just let's get on our knees before the Lord here and a prayer. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being leaders. But you know what? We could all stand in prayer. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Hired, I want you to lead us in prayer, okay? Yes. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for these men. Hug somebody on your way back to see. Nothing like praying men. So thankful for you. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know. Our number has changed. We've got to get that changed. It's the old 336-877-4920 number. Most of y'all are mostly familiar with that in that parsonage. So any way I can help you, please let me know. We'll get that put on our bulletins next week. And I love you. Take the rest of the evening. Spend time with your family. If your dad's alive, tell him you love him and just give him a hug. And then I just appreciate every one of you. And so don't forget our posters, please. Don't forget to sign up for Vacation Bible School. A lot of great things going on. Revival starting next Sunday, so be in prayer about that. Remember, Wednesday night service, we'll be going preaching and teaching about preparing ourselves for a revival and then spending some time in prayer. Good old Wednesday night prayer meeting. We're getting back to what it's supposed to be, praying around the altar of God. And so we love you. And thank you so much. And if you would, Dan, would you close us in prayer as we go out?